Let's stand and have a word of prayer, if we would. Dear precious Father, Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, yielding our hearts to you, Father, that you could speak to us, and that as we would open our hearts, be pliable to the word, Father, that you would mold us and make us into something perfect, Lord, that, Lord, that maybe if I could step out of the way and allow you to speak through me, that, Lord, I could say something that, Father, the people would find helpful, that they would be able to go to their heart, Lord, and help them to grow into the perfect image that you would have for all of us, Lord. So we ask that you would be with us this Sunday school, anoint the word, anoint what's spoken, be with us through the remainder of the service, through the worship service, and into the preaching, Lord. We ask these things in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we want to turn this morning, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. Something's wrong. Hang on. Somehow. Well, all right then. That's the wrong scripture. How did I put that down? Let me pull up the... that's why. Because it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Forgot that. So we're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Actually, let's go back to verse 13. We'll start from there. Says verse 13, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." And verse 15, "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." And y'all can be seated. I'm going to start by laying a little bit of foundation. It might not seem like it's related to that, but it'll circle back around. And I want to start with... I want to start with a quote. This is from The Breach in 1963. And it says, "And they lost their claims on eternal life by the fall of Adam and Eve, who fell from eternal life to death in the Garden of Eden and brought all nature under them to death. A tree never died before Adam. An animal wouldn't die before Adam. And there's only one thing that cannot die, and that's God, because he's eternal. And that's the only way we can ever keep from dying. We have to have eternal life in us to be sons and daughters of God. But when we died, as I said in the message this morning, to sin, we sold out our birthrights and crossed this chasm. Now we're beyond the reach of God on this other side of the chasm. Now, of course, when Adam fell to death, he brought death upon all creation." Now I want to read again. This is from Satan's Eden, 1965. He says, "Now he, by this fall, it has took over and possessed the Garden of Eden himself. He took it over, and now he has had 6,000 years of deceitful rule, deceiving the people, God's children, as he did then, because they were based on free moral agency to act any way they wished to, and believing that they would act right, or trusting that they would act right. Then they've come with the wrong act and sold their birthrights, as Esau did, for the world. And Satan won it, and he took it over, and he's had 6,000 years to build up his Eden, as God had 6,000 years to bring his Eden to a close. And by deceit of the word or the people, now established his own Eden in this earth in sin. Now, I read that because I want to establish something, and that is that, you know, this idea that, you know, God takes 1,000 years to build an Eden. In the midst of that Eden, there's a tree of life and a tree of knowledge. And then mankind falls, and so now Satan has a right to build an Eden, right? The birthright was ownership of Eden, right? That was the birthright, and or to possess Eden and to live there. And so now Satan took that birthright, and now he has the right to build an Eden, okay? So he builds it, and so the earth is fallen. It's a thing created by Satan. It's going to be a thing plagued with torment and death and sickness and disease and chaos and all these different things. They're going to be the product of Satan and it's going to be Satan's vision for humanity, right? And so as a result, everything that comes from the earth is now cursed with Satan's design, right? Which creates a problem for us because we're made of the dust, right? We're from dust we came and unto dust we go, right? We have a body that's made of the dust of a fallen earth. The food that we eat, literally your physical body is now under a curse that is subjecting it to, you know, the control of Lucifer. And so, as a result, we have all kinds of problems. Obviously, we get sick, but you know, in our bodies, we have failures, we have faults, we have all these many things, and much of that is the product of the fact that our physical bodies don't just stop with, you know, what you can see, right? You know, we interact with the physical world with our five senses. But we also know that there's five spiritual senses. Amen. And those five spiritual senses are also tied directly to your physical body, right? I mean, you know, just to list them off, you have imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. So Brother Branham lays out as the five spiritual senses. Well, if memory is a spiritual sense, it's an aspect of your spirit man, but, you know, it's not a crazy notion for somebody to get hit in the head in an accident and then lose their memory. Okay, so your spiritual senses are tied to your physical body. There's an aspect of that, right? I mean, we know that, you know, reason. Well, you know, your logic, your reason. Well, I mean, you know, teenagers don't really develop that. You know, people don't develop that fully till they're 25, right? Because your brain doesn't finish developing. I heard it. I think this is one of my favorite quotes I ever heard. I think it was Samuel Clemens said this. Said that when he was 14, he thought his father was the most foolish man to walk the earth. And then when he had turned 21, he was shocked to see how much his father had learned in just 7 years. Right? You know, his reality is that people, you know, it's you know, your brain doesn't really finish developing. You're trying to think. If you're a teenager, you're trying to think with half your brain tied behind your back. That's why God gave you parents. To help you get to the point where you're 25 and your brain is fully developed and you can actually think. And it's amazing when you turn 25 and you suddenly realize, come to the realization, Mom and Dad were right. It's like, yeah, well, that's because you have a brain now, right? You know, but this is your reason. This is an aspect of your spirit man that is directly tied to your biology, right? To your physical man. And so, obviously, all of these things, these aspects of your spirit man, is going to be tied to your fallen earth man. That's why, you know, and you've heard it before, but I'm, you know, maybe just showing a little bit of a different angle, that your spirit isn't redeemed. Your spirit doesn't get the Holy Ghost, right? The Holy Ghost falls on your soul, and the Holy Ghost can work and cause your spirit to behave right, but it doesn't really get the Holy Ghost. It doesn't get redeemed because it's part of your flesh, right? That's why you can have the Holy Ghost and still have struggles and still have issues, and that all has to be brought under subjection of the Word. Yeah. Now, um, So, but we can get all kinds of scars and damage because we're part of Satan's Eden, right? We're kind of a product of it, right? Your physical body is a product of this world that is enmity against God. So much of your spirit is gonna not naturally have a desire for the things of God, right? It's why at the pinnacle of Satan's Eden, isn't it funny how the number one message that's taught to young people is follow your heart? And I'm here to say, no, do not follow your heart. Your heart is desperately wicked. Your heart is enmity against God. Your heart, following your heart is a scam, right? It is a landmine that's waiting for you to step on it so it can ruin your life, okay? Your heart is enmity against God, and your heart will lead you into all kinds of horrible things because it's fallen. It is as fallible and corrupt as your physical body is. It is as susceptible to disease and ailment as much as your physical body is, okay? Mental illness is real, okay? And if you've ever encountered it firsthand, there's no doubt about it, you know? But it's because, but we're at the culmination of this Satan's Eden, right? And so that's why, we struggle so much with a lot of these things. Things are so oppressive. But if Satan had destroyed God's Eden, had taken it over by causing the woman to partake of the tree in the midst of the garden, then logically, or in fairness, and it tracks through the word, that God would have to destroy Satan's Eden by having his woman partake of the tree of life that is in the midst of Satan's Eden, right? That when God comes down in the form of a man, is the tree of life descended into the midst of Satan's Eden, and a seed went into the ground and died and rose up, as you know, and he said, I am the vine, you're the branches, right? Christ is the vine. Maybe a more translation, and a better translation into modern English would be, I'm the trunk of the tree and you are the branches, right? He's the stem and everything else comes off of that. Well, so here's the tree of life grown in the midst of Satan's Eden, and it is the bride is called to go to that tree of life and partake, bring the seed, and then manifest that back through herself. Okay, it's to do exactly what Mary did, to bring forth the life of God again, to take in the word and express. And we've talked about this a lot, and I don't want to keep reiterating points I'm sure you're all very aware of. But we talk about how it's our responsibility, it's our calling to accept the quickening power of the word, right? You know, and the term quickening is used all throughout the Bible. We talk about Paul, how he talks about he would quicken your mortal body. We were dead in sin, and that it would, but it, we were quickened. Also, a lot in Psalms, David uses this a lot, calling on the Lord, in prayers, in Psalms of prayer, calling on the Lord to quicken him, right? That he feels, that the enemies are round about them, but Lord, quicken us. Well, the word quicken, I did a little bit of a study on it, because some of you may be familiar if you followed the, when they overturned Roe v. Wade, and in the Supreme Court decision, if you read that, they cited one of the oldest law that we have is actually English common law from back in, like, I think the 1500s, where under English common law, protection of the unborn started at what they called the quickening. Okay, the origin of the word quickening in English is specifically when a baby receives life in the womb. That is what the word comes from, okay? Specifically, the word quick is comes from Old English, or actually technically Old German, which means to be alive or to live. And
the historical sign of it. It was the concept of quickening as the first sign of fetal life, because that was the first indication that they knew that the baby was viable and alive, is when it started moving. Because they didn't have, you know, in the 1500s, they don't have ultrasounds, right? And so, but what is that, right? It's you know, so in the Bible, when it's talking about to quicken, you know, those who are dead and are being quickened, it means to revive the dead, right? You know, Christ was quickened, you know, he was dead, and then he was quickened back to life. But it's always going to carry the underlying implication of the new birth, right? There has to be a birth there, a new birth of life come into that, because that's what the word quickening means. It is a reference to a seed coming forward and a baby going to be born from that. Amen. New life. And you know, so like in the Psalms, man, the Psalms are full of David calling on the Lord for quickening power, right? And if you don't take it from this approach, then you think David is, he's surrounded by enemies, right? He's surrounded on enemies on all sides, and he's asking the Lord for quickening power. And you would read this and think, David is surrounded by Philistines, and he's asking the Lord for super speed. No, David is surrounded by his own faults and failures and is asking the Lord for the new birth. That is what's happening, right? So when we're talking about, so now in this context where we have the bride of Christ in this day, our mandate to fulfill the plan of redemption, just like Ruth and Boaz, right? The plan of redemption with Ruth and Boaz did not, and it was not fulfilled when Ruth and Boaz got married. Okay, that was not the point of the redemption. The point of the redemption was to raise up new seed. That was the point. The redemption did not finish. The story of Ruth and Boaz did not end when they got married. It ended when she had a baby, right? There's a very important, that's the culmination of all this. And this whole thought came about, and I'm going to, you know, I don't got too much time left, so I want to wrap it up and put a bow on this for you and tell you where this came from. This thought, that's all my foundation. I'm gonna tell you why this all is important to me. I was reading, it's actually, I think I was listening to a podcast originally, and then I did a bunch of reading on this, where they were talking about the benefits and the importance of pregnancy for women and how integral the idea that, oh, well, men and women are all the same, and no, they're not. Women's biology is entirely built around pregnancy. That is, like, their entire body is built around pregnancy. And everything they do, even psychologically, their mental state is wildly affected by all of this. Everything is built around pregnancy and having babies. And when a woman is having a baby, there is so much that goes on in that you, I mean, the idea that this is somehow like equivalent, like the amount of like the hormone release that affects your psychology and affects all kinds of things. And one of the things that they mentioned that I had somehow never heard before that blew my mind was that during pregnancy, the fetus can donate stem cells to the mother. Okay? Now, for those of you who don't know what stem cells are, baby's first forming, it starts out with one cell, and then that cell becomes two cells and four cells and eight cells and 16 cells, and it's a little bubble, little blob that's growing and growing and growing and growing. And those original cells aren't eye cells or skin cells or heart cells or whatever. They're not tissue cells. They're what they call stem cells. They can be, or vine cells, you might say, right? It's almost like this creative power, like Jehovah incarnated into a little cell that can just be anything. It's the power of creative, you know, that life is coming out of this thing. And it can be anything. It's like a wild card, right? Once it gets to a certain point where they have a critical mass of stem cells, then it can start differentiating into all the other tissue kinds, types. And then once it'll branch off, right? That's why it's called a stem cell, right? It is the stem that then branches out into all the other different tissues. It's all the a stem cell is anything. It can be anything. And so the baby grows, and it grows off of stem cells, right? It originates in stem cells, and then it grows out and you know, grows a first little heart, and then a nervous system, and then, you know, fingers and toes and little toes to poke into mommy's ribs. And it, you know, grows all the bits of a baby, and then it's a baby. Well, once the baby's born, it still has a massive load of stem cells, that because it has to get bigger, right? It doesn't stay the size of a baby. It gets into grows into a fully grown adult. Well, how does that happen? Well, it's got a massive reserve of stem cells. This person, as they grow and get bigger, those that bigness has to come from somewhere, and it's growing from stem cells that are remaining in their body until about 25, when the last of those stem cells turn into brain cells. Is also consider the fact that Brother Branham said that you are gaining life until 25, and then you start dying. Isn't it funny that he was able to say that, like, way before the concept of stem cells and genetics were really understood? Crazy that. But here we have, but stem cells are like the foundation for all of this. It is the foundation for life, and they can be anything. And we've heard of things like stem cell therapy, where they can inject, people can donate stem cells, and they can, maybe someone has a major injury, like in a knee, and you can inject stem cells into the knee, and then that there are certain tissues that don't really regenerate, right? Like if you cut your arm and you have a hole in your flesh, well then your flesh cells around it multiply, right? And they fill the hole back in. Well, if you get a hole in your heart, it doesn't exactly work that way. Heart cells don't reproduce. You don't make new heart cells. You don't make new brain cells, right? There are certain tissues that just don't regenerate. You got what you got. Once you're out of stem cells, that's it. That's why little kids can heal from things that are like an adult would never recover from, right? Little kid can have a major brain trauma and still recover from it and be more or less fine in a lot of cases because they have enough stem cells to reproduce tissue that would normally never reproduce. They would never get more of. Well, babies in the womb donate stem cells to mom. Amen. Right? So there have been instances of moms who have had major heart problems, like myocarditis and things like that as a little kid, and then always had heart problems until they got pregnant, and then they resolved like that. Amen. Because that baby donated some of its creative power that God put in that got donated to mom, right? They've done studies where the scars from C-sections have that baby's stem cells in it, that the baby leaves stem cells for mom to heal after the pregnancy. They found it in brain tissue, in heart tissue, in at one point they did one study where there was a woman, hadn't had a baby in 10 years, had a heart attack 10 years after her child was born, and that baby's stem cells were still in her body and healed her heart attack, the damage from her heart attack. This is the reason why this is important, is because we come into the world in through Satan's Eden. Right? We come into the world broken, our flesh is weak, our spirits are weak, we have all this damage and destruction, and yet when we take on that seed of God and let that grow inside of us, the process of birthing the word into the world will donate that creative power, and it will heal your body, it will heal your spirit. The things that the damage that you have by the nature of your birth, right? The damage that you have because you were broken from birth can be resolved, can be healed by the power of the spoken word manifesting through your life. Okay? The not just to your flesh, but to your spirit. It is the same thing. If you have damage in your body, you need healing. Well, then the word can manifest the vine. Right? The Christ is the vine, and if he's living through you, then that stem cell will enter your life and heal your body. If you have problems in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit, right? You have those memories that plague you from a past time in your life. God can heal the damage to those memories, right? If you have problems in your reasoning, in your conscience, in these things that we struggle with, these faults and failures, as long as you keep manifesting the word in your life, the power, the creative power of God working through you will heal those problems. You will heal the damage. Okay? It will heal. It heals the body as a whole, right? I mean, we look at the individual, the bride as individuals, but also the bride as a whole, right? Damage to the bride body of Christ globally, where churches have infighting and feuds. Well, if those churches manifest the word, that will heal, okay? When we have prodigals who have left the word, you keep the word manifesting. Let the church come together as a body and focus on being true to the word of God, and that will resolve. Okay? The spirit of God, the creative power will bring those people back. The bride as a whole can heal any wound, right? Both on the individual and on the church level. When there's problems, I'm out of time, but I'll just finish and say this. The if you have problems, I've experienced it firsthand, whether it's health problems or finance problems or marriage problems or whatever the problems you're having are, if your first step is, Lord, I'm going to draw closer to you, that I can see the problems in my own self and I'm going to draw closer to you, you would be shocked how many things just fix. Just miraculously, the issue just disappears because you drew closer to the Lord. Right? You just pull on the word, find, just draw closer to God and build the relationship with God, and you don't have to do anything. And it's just problems start falling away. The mom whose heart is repaired with stem cells from her baby doesn't have to go through a program or go to a seminar to activate those stem cells. She just manifests the baby and it just happens. Okay, I'm out of time. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time that we've had this morning. Hope that something that was said would touch the heart of the people, Lord, that give someone some courage, some encouragement, Lord, that in this time of great shaking, that would shake people's faith, this time that would discourage people, that, Lord, we'd have the boldness to stand on your word, Lord, and move forward, that we wouldn't be distracted by things of the world, distracted by, Father, the lies that the devil would try to tell us, Lord, but we ask that you would keep us close to you and be with us as we go through our lives, Lord. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.